Sermon title is, Do You Hear the Trumpet Sound? Do you hear the trumpet sound? Wednesday mornings, we've been going through the book of Daniel. In fact, we have just finished up going through the book of Daniel. And the prophecy of Daniel is simply amazing. You know, there's people that say out there, oh, there's mistakes in their Bible, and this person wrote it, and that person wrote it. Anybody could have wrote the Bible? Absolutely not. It had to be God-breathed and God-inspired. In Daniel's prophecy, you can look at it in time periods. A time what is, a time what will be soon be, and a time what will be in the future. Daniel speaks to all of that in the scripture. Daniel gives us a view of the future. I want us to turn to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 to begin with this morning. And we're going to go to a lot of scripture today, and you're going to look at a lot of different scripture, but we're going to start out in the book of Daniel, and we go to Daniel chapter 12. We talked about this on Wednesday. I remember preaching sermons over it before. Lost my podium. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The world is going to and fro faster and faster than ever before. Knowledge has increased as we have never seen it as it's increasing now. But as the world is traveling as never before, and as knowledge is increasing as never before, mankind can still not find the truth. They are searching but cannot come to the knowledge of the truth of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, we have all this knowledge increasing. Now we're doing AI. You can do so many things on your phone. It's like a computer that's held in your hand. And you've heard it said that the phone that you have today has more computer space and more computer ability than the first landing on the moon back in that with NASA. You have that much power in the palm of your hand, ever increasing in knowledge, but still never to come to the knowledge of the truth. And mankind is running all over the world looking for truth and cannot find it because they do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In Daniel chapter 12, we go back to verse 1. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. In verse 1, when we review verse 1, listen to what it says. At the time Michael shall stand up, and the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Gives us a view of the great tribulation. Verse 2 gives us a view of the final judgment. Those that have their names written in the book of life will enter into eternal rest. And those that do not have their name in the book of life will enter into eternal damnation. But in verse 1, the great tribulation is what Daniel is forewarning about here in the scripture, will be a time of trouble as never before seen on this earth. Can you imagine that? No, you can't, because I can't either. The loss of life on this earth will be as never before. The loss will be greater than all wars that have been combined together. Take them all. The Spanish-American War, the Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, and what's going on, and all of them combined will not be near even close to the as many people that will be lost in this world during the tribulation period. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, and we're going to look at some of these terrible tribulations that will take place in people's lives. So Revelation chapter 6. And we're all heading to a specific point in the Word today. In Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades. Followed with him, and the power was given to them over 1/4 of the earth, to kill with a sword, with hunger and death, by the beasts of the earth. 1/4. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. In Revelation chapter 9, we go to verse 15. Revelation 9, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill 1/3 of all mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of a lion, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths." But we're not done yet. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 13. In Revelation 11 and verse 13, "In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God in heaven." We do not know what the total number of the people will be that will die during the tribulation period, but it will reach into the billions. Why? Because people will not repent. Look at Revelation 9, verse 20, since you're just very close there. Revelation 9 and verse 20. "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk." From this, do you get a picture? I do not want you to get a picture of an unloving or an uncaring God, because the opposite is truth. God so loved the world, you know scripture in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. Now turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to back that up. In 1 Timothy, I wasn't going to go there, but we'll go there really quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, and verse 4 says this, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's desire for all of humanity is for them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've heard me say many times, and you've heard other preachers say many times, no one is born to go to hell, that all have been born to go to heaven. But you see, there's something uniquely made in your life when you were created by God, because you were created in his image. And because you were created in his image, he gave you the ability to choose. You choose whether you accept Jesus or whether you reject Jesus. Here it says in verse 4, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." But look at verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's the deciding factor. There's by no other name under heaven that we can be saved, but only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The loss of lives in tribulation is by man's choice to not repent. But God has chosen for us, the believers, has God chosen for us, the believer, to go through this destruction? Has God chosen for us, the believers, to go through the tribulation period, and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, say, no, he has not. No, he has not. The tribulation period is known as a time of wrath. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Just go back a couple of chapters, a couple of books. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 9 says this: For God did not appoint us to wrath. Stop there just for a second. The tribulation period is known as a time of wrath. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is known as a time of great wrath. For God did not appoint us to wrath. You are not appointed for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. You've heard me say many, many times, after Revelation chapter 4, the earth on earth is no longer spoken of because the church is in heaven. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. We're going somewhere. We haven't got there yet. Revelation 19. In Revelation chapter 19, when you go to verse 11. In verse 11 of Revelation 19, it says, Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one except himself. He was clothed with robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 14, it says this, And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, no sin. They are pure. They are holy. They followed him on white horses. At the end of the tribulation period, at the Battle of Armageddon, that's what's being explained here, is the Battle of Armageddon, we will come back with him. So that enters a question to us today. If we are going to come back with him, how did we get there? We got there by the catching away of the bride of Christ, what we would call the rapture of the church. And there are so many naysayers out there, and that voice of naysayers of the rapture of the church is growing and growing and growing. Because people will be deceived that it's never going to happen. But it's going to happen. How did the church get to heaven? Because before the tribulation period, the church was caught away. Over and over in the Bible, God delivered his people before judgment fell. How many do you want to look at today? Noah and the ark in Genesis 7, Noah and his family entered the ark before judgment fell on this earth. Saints, Jesus Christ is our ark today. In Genesis 19, the angels pulled Lot and his family out before the judgment happened of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Joshua chapter 6, Rahab was spared before the walls of Jericho fell. In Exodus chapter 12, God delivered his people before the judgment of Egypt. Over and over and over and over again, there's examples that God delivers his people before judgment. Once again, saints, before judgment falls on this earth during the tribulation, God will pull his saints out and off of this earth. It's called the catching away of the bride of Christ. It's called the rapture of the church. Saints, the deception is growing on this earth that this will not take place. and it's a lie from the pits of hell, so people won't be prepared for when it happens. Deceiving people to not be ready. And the scripture says we need to be ready. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. We go back to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. In chapter 4, you look at verse 13. There's quite a bit to read here, but it's worth it. We got long ways to go, and we got lots of time yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those that have gone on to glory, those that have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, when remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night. It's going to be a surprise to the world. Now, how can it be a surprise if it's not going to happen? How's it going to be a surprise if people are going to live through the tribulation period and Jesus is going to come back? There's no shock, there's no surprise, and there's no reason for you to be in church today, because we're not in the tribulation period. You can say, well, I'll just wait till the tribulation period starts, then I'll accept Jesus. I got to live through it anyway, so I'll wait and be prepared then. No. That's what an unbelieving world lives for. He goes on and says, it comes as a thief in the night, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that the day should overcome you as a thief. Do you think that today is closer than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? And everybody in this room would say, yes, amen. You know, I've been preaching the rapture of the church for 40 years. And if the Lord would so have me do it again, I'd do it for another 40 years. As long as the Lord tarries and doesn't take his children off this earth, I will be preaching that you need to be ready, because any day we could be caught away. And I'm closer today than I was 40 years ago, and I thought I was close then. In verse 2, you are the sons and lights, the sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together. Now listen to the words in verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now, how can I comfort you if I feel that you're going to live through the tribulation period? Oh, there's nothing to worry about. There's going to be billions killed, but don't worry. There's going to be billions, but I'm sure you're not going to be one of the billions that's going to be killed. Just have faith and trust in God. You can't comfort people with that. But what you can comfort people with knowing is that the Lord Jesus is going to take us out of this earth. He's going to catch us away, because we are the bride of Christ. We're not going to live through the tribulation period. We need to be ready today, tomorrow, and the next day for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say today, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go. In verses 1 through 8 in chapter 5, the scripture tells us the rapture will be a surprise event. Where is the surprise if I know I have to live through the tribulation? Then there's no hurry to accept Jesus. I will wait until the tribulation, since I have to live through it anyway. Saints, the deception that this is not going to happen in our world today is growing. And the Lord tells us we need to be ready because it will happen in an hour when we think not. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. In verse 16, he says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." See that word trumpet? Now, I want you to save your place in Thessalonians because we're going to come right back to it. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember the word trumpet. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians, we'll get there, chapter 15. I'm turning with you. Verse 50. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. In verse 50, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," at what? "At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Are you listening for the trumpet? I say, come, Lord Jesus. Now listen to me. The naysayers of the rapture of the church, and there's many, and that voice is growing, say this. That teaching didn't come out until 1909. And it came out through the Schofield Reference Bible. It was taught by a man by the name of John Darby in 1830. They say that the ancient fathers did not teach the rapture. And I tell you that that is a lie. Paul taught it and believed it. He taught it and he believed it, and the book of Thessalonians was written in either 49 through or 51 AD after the death of Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to go back there. We're almost done. And I want you to look first at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I do not want you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." In verse 15 and in verse 17, there's two little words that are very, very important. And when you go back to verse 15, it says, "For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we." You get it? We. Paul wasn't saying you and in the future. He's saying now, and I'm including myself. Paul believed that the rapture of the church was going to take place in his life. If you go back in history and study the church of Thessalonica, you would find that those people believed that Jesus' coming was going to be so soon that they quit working. That's how imminent it was, that in their life, right now, it could be today or tomorrow. We don't need to do anything because Jesus is coming. Paul ends up teaching them that, yeah, you need to be about your Father's business until it happens, even though you believe that it's going to happen. In verse 15, he includes we. Now, when you look at verse 17, it says, then we who are alive. The we is Paul including himself. He thought it would happen in his lifetime, and he lived as if it could happen at any moment. And the question is, it doesn't matter how long that you've served the Lord, are you living today as if today could be the day that the Lord captures the church away? Don't listen to the naysayers on podcasts and some of these other false preachers are out there, because there's many of them that are saying that. The scriptures completely, tremendously supports the rapture of the church. And we're going to look at one last scripture and then we're going to close today. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We go back to the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10, and this was to the faithful church of Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast with what you have, that no one may take away your crown. What does he say in verse 10? Because you have kept my commandments to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. You're not going to have to go through the time of wrath. You're not going to have to face the tribulation period, because I will deliver my church out of this earth before it starts. The word church appears 19 times in the book of Revelations between chapters 1 and 3, but it completely disappears in chapter 4. It doesn't reappear until chapter 19, when we return with Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. Saints, if I'm all wet and all wrong, you have nothing to worry about, because you're going to be here no matter what, right? If I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm telling you, saints, this isn't just my thinking. There's not a Baptist believer in your background, a Baptist believer that does not believe in the rapture of the church. There's not a full gospel believer, if you're a full gospel believer or attended a full gospel church, that does not believe in the rapture of the church. There's not a Pentecostal believer that is in this world that does not believe in the rapture of the church. So many of these churches that don't believe in the rapture of their church, they're trying to decide how many people a person can marry. Is it okay to marry multiple couples in one union? We have churches trying to make that decision. No, they don't believe in the rapture of the church. They're not living as if it's ever going to happen, because they are deceived. We are not deceived, because we are children of the day. We are not children of the night. We don't sleep in darkness, because we know that the Lord Jesus is going to return as a thief in the night, and we are ready. But if I'm all wet, you have nothing to worry about, because you know you got to live through the tribulation period. But if I know what I'm talking about, you better be ready. I don't want anybody in this church left behind. And there's going to be thousands of churches across this nation. If Jesus comes on Saturday night, they're going to show up for church on Sunday morning. If Jesus comes back next Saturday night, I don't want nobody to be here. We'll rejoice in heaven together. Amen. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in your word because your word is truth. And we thank you for your truth. We pray that everyone knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If they're one that has not made that decision, we want to give them the opportunity today. And I ask, why every eye is closed and every head is bowed, is there one here today that is not sure? The scripture says you can be for sure because his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. If you're not sure of that today and you'd like for me to pray for you, I'd just like for you to get up and come forward. And I will pray with you. If we know that we know Jesus, and I'm not saying anybody doesn't, Lord, help us to live every day as if today is the day of our salvation. That we are taken out of this earth and we look forward to it with expectancy. And as the scripture says in the book of Revelations, come, Lord Jesus, we are ready to go. Be with my brothers and sisters as we leave this place. And may your hand be upon their life. And may you bring us all back together as soon as possible. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.